And I pray that I'd speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
The gospel reading this morning from John is a passage that's often used at funeral services. And so it's probably one of the most spoken about passages in the Bible, and it's likely that you've heard something on it before. That's not going to stop me. Here goes again. because it is. It's a fascinating passage. It's a very appropriate passage for funerals because it speaks of hope, it speaks of assurance, and it speaks about the unending love of God. But it also, as people hear it and perhaps are going through the funeral, it begins to raise questions about, well, what's heaven like? What is heaven? You know, how do we get there? What? Where is it? You know, how big is it? As you may be aware, Jenny and I have just come back from some travels, and part of that was in some fairly remote places. And so I think some of the people who I was with, their first questions about heaven might be, does it have internet? And if it does, what's the password? And do I need to take my device with me in order that I can log on? And is the bandwidth going to be big enough for us all? And all of those kind of things. We don't know. The other question that, you know, it's, well, will we all fit in? How big is it? There's an urban myth which is prevalent, which is 75% of the people who have ever lived on Earth are living right now. Now, that is a myth, because I looked it up. And there are, estimates would vary, but one estimate is that since humankind has been around, there have been around 108 billion people live on planet Earth. And the world population today is about 7 billion. And so there's about 6% of the people who have ever lived are living on planet Earth right now. Still quite a large number. But where's 108 billion people going to fit? Are they all there? Who will we see there? All of these questions, you know, begin to filter through people's minds. And when we look at, you know, what we describe as heaven, there are lots of different interpretations. If you, you know, look at different faiths and different models, whether you talk to a scientist or whether you talk to a theologian, you'll get a different view of what heaven is and the heavenly bodies. Jewish thought originally had the cosmos split into three. There was the Shamayim, the heavens, which are plural, Eretz, which is the earth, which is the place of the living, and Sheol, which we're familiar with, which was a place of the dead. And God and the cherubim and seraphim lived in the heavens, and it was quite simple. It was just three. And then, but we also know that some people speak about the seventh heavens, and, you know, is it split into divisions? And again, Jewish thought split it into seven, each with a name, in the first century. And some of those are described. There's an apocryphal book called Three Enoch, which talks about the third heaven. And Paul, in his closing of his second letter to the Corinthians, talks about, I know a man who was in the third heaven. So there's lots of references in the New Testament to heaven. Matthew speaks extensively about the kingdom of heaven. But there's very little description of what heaven is. But what we do see throughout the New Testament is that heaven is described as the presence of God. Not as a particular location, but as the presence of God. And if we think about that, that's something that we're quite familiar with. Heaven and God are inextricably linked, and we say, week by week, in the words of the Lord's Prayer, Our Father, who art in heaven. And we know that when Jesus died, he went into the presence of the Father. And he says to the criminal on the cross who's next to him, Today, you will be with me in paradise, in that safe place. It's a metaphor. It's like a walled garden. It's a secure place, which is the presence of God. And the Bible also tells us that we who die in Christ go to be with him when we die. That's in Philippians, the first chapter. So we know that as we die, going to heaven is not so much about going to a particular location, but about moving into the presence of God. The presence of God and heaven are inextricably linked. Heaven is described as being in the presence of God. So it's not surprising when Jesus is talking about this to the disciples, they don't quite get it. Jesus has just washed their feet. He's talked to them about he's going to leave them, he's going to prepare a place for them, and they will follow afterwards. And he says, In my Father's house, there are many rooms, as the word is translated. Some of the older translations had it, there are many mansions. But the word that's used, it's almost like there are many abiding places. Because Jesus then goes on, you remember when he says to the disciples, Abide in me, and I will abide in you. Rest in me, and I will rest in you. Almost like holding a baby, the resting. And that's the word that's used for the rooms, the resting places, the abiding places that Jesus prepares for the disciples and for all of us. Rest in me. In my Father's house, there's room for everybody. There's plenty of room. In my Father's presence, there is no limit. 108 billion people can fit there if they need to. There is no limit because it is not so much a location, but the presence of God. And Thomas and Phillips still don't get this. Jesus, where are you going? We don't know where you go. How do we get there? Can we see the Father? And Jesus simply replies, Those who have seen me have seen the Father, and I am the way that you get into the presence of God, the Father, through me. By doing the things that you have seen me do, that is the way that you enter into the presence of God. And when he says it, it's a bit like when Thomas declares, when Jesus appears to him at the resurrection, and he says, My Lord and my God. They suddenly see, here is God on earth. And that's what Jesus points out to them in this little bit of dialogue, that here he is as God on earth, and as they look at him, so they see God. But if the presence of God is heaven, so they are getting a little glimpse of heaven on earth. Jesus says to them, As you look at me, as you follow my ways, so you reveal a little bit of heaven on earth, the presence of God. Jesus also says that as we follow him, as we do the things that he has been doing, we reveal the glory of the Father. And glory is one of those kind of golden threads that goes all through the Gospel of John. And it goes back to, as you probably guessed, the wedding in Cana in Galilee, which is the overarching sign by which all other signs are understood. And at the end of that it says, this sign was done so that the glory of God could be revealed. And as we follow in Christ's footsteps, so we too reveal that glory of God, which is in some way his presence. And as we follow in Christ's footsteps, day by day, understanding perhaps a little more about the presence of God in our world and in our lives, so we too reveal a little bit of heaven to those around us as we follow in his footsteps, because Jesus says in one of the I Am sayings, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen.
Amen.